with the materialistic or the un-Christ way of life. And God, we get caught up in that sometimes. And sometimes our heart's desire may fall away from you. And God, today I pray as we study, as we hear how Paul defends himself, may we also be able to defend ourselves into a world that wants nothing but darkness as we are the light. And God, we just pray that you have your will and your way with our hearts and our minds this morning. May we just settle in, sit at your feet, and listen for what you will have for us today. God, we thank you and we praise you for who you are. In your son's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to continue on as in our study. But so far in our study, we've realized that Paul was coming at this group of churches in Galatia with a quite of an interesting concept, because when we first see how he introduced himself in the letter, he didn't say, you know, I thank my God in remembrance of you. He came to them with some pretty harsh introductions, and realizing that Paul, well, there's two things that we pointed out. Paul was defending his authority as an apostle, and he's also defending the true message of Christ. So as we study through this morning, Paul begins his defense of his authority. Now, what I want to sort of bring out and share a little bit is that when you and I are living in a world that we live in, and we live in a world that really is trying to just take God out of everything, a world that's trying to take away Jesus Christ from the voice of everything. And so when we live in that air, we live in that world, we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in, simply because when we live in that world, listen, if you walk through a barn and are in the barn long enough, you will come out smelling like the barn. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome, man. Hands up to the farmers of America, man. That's how we've lived many years, and that's how we're still living. But my point is, when you walk through this world long enough, you're going to start having some of the stuff. That's why we need to be aware of, and we need to be watching, that we don't get caught up in too much some of the stuff that's out there. Paul, as they address his authority, he has done it in several ways, and we're gonna see this over the next several weeks, how he defended himself. But first of all, as we study this together, Paul's gospel was not from man. He's going to make that very clear. The second thing we're going to see is that Paul's life before he was saved. Paul's now going to give a testimony about his life. The third thing we're going to look at is Paul's conversion, how God changed him. And the last thing we're going to see this morning is Paul's life after he was saved. So we're going to go through these verses, and I realize that you're all thinking, holy cow, 4 points. Don't look at your watch. This is a watch-free zone. Just saying. When we study this together, we want to do it in a way that we find Paul's heart. Because what I'm convinced of is how Paul now addresses. Have you ever had anybody tell you that, how do you know the Bible you hold is the right one? How do you know that God's word is the right one, the right word? Paul's going to address that today. We're going to unpeel the layers and see how the word of God was actually penned. Because Paul in his testimony is very clear how God used him to be able to write the scriptures. So we need to set the stage a little bit, first of all. First of all, as we look at this, we see that Paul didn't have the New Testament, okay? As Paul didn't have the New Testament, he only had the Old Testament. And with the Old Testament, as you and I so readily are able to go to the New Testament and find the truth of the Word of God, Paul didn't have that. Paul was the one that was going to write it. So Paul is coming to a group of people that doesn't have a Bible in front of them. He's coming to a group of people, a group of churches, that all they have is the Old Testament that the religious leaders would read to them. And that's very important as we go into our study. The only thing that they had to go back to understand anything about religion was the Old Testament. Even though Christ had already came, even though Christ was already dead, risen again, the new covenant was in place, They only had the Old Testament to go back to. That's a very important key, and sometimes we forget that as we study through the Word of God. Because it's so easy for us to go to the Word of God. It's so easy for us to just flip through the pages and start putting some dots together and see how it all works. But put yourself in their mindset. So they're questioning Paul's authority. And we see that as Paul begins, as we look at verse 11 of chapter 1. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. How do you know the scripture you have in your hand is the right one? Paul's going to explain that. Paul certified or decreed or has made a decree, the gospel did not originate with man. I want you to go out there and do a study on all the other religions and all the other Bibles and all the other ways that they have their word from their God, and it originated with man. Man wrote the word as they believe their God told them. If their God is not alive, if their God is an idol, if their God isn't the right God, how did he speak to them? And it's very clear that Paul is making a point. Listen, it didn't originate with us. It didn't originate with man. So it's a very important point that you have the right scriptures, the right word of God, and my prayer is that all of you do. I did not say translation. I said word of God. If you want to get picky about it, unless you know Greek and Hebrew, you are reading another man's interpretation of the original language. Don't care what version you got. Point taken. We're talking about the original writings of the scripture. So as we see the original writings, it's very important. Paul says it did not originate with man. He's made it very clear. I certify, I decree to you that the gospel was not after man. It was not. I didn't write it. It didn't originate in me. Second thing we see is that Paul was not taught the gospel. And this is very important because Paul was, as he was first noted as Saul of Tarsus, he was a very well-educated man in the law of Moses, in the scriptures, because he was a Sanhedrin. He was the one that was sat on the board that decided the law as people were brought to the courts, as people were brought to them, and as they were deciding whether or not they broke the law of Moses, that they broke the law of God. He knew them well. He wasn't taught the gospel. The gospel was not something that was given to him by any man, whether in writing or in learning. And that is huge, because today he even tells the churches as he writes them, as I have instructed you. Paul's the one doing the instructing. Paul's the one going out there telling everybody what God needs, what God wants, what God is asking of them, of the salvation message, of the salvation plan. As Robin said, the blood. Listen, if you don't claim the blood of Jesus Christ, you will end up in hell. Point blank. There's no other way to look at that. Why? It's not because I said so. It's because God said so. God's the one who said, "You, no man cometh unto me except through my Son." So when he says that and he makes that claim, it's pretty guaranteed, right? Guarantee that's how we get to heaven. No other way, no other wishes, no other wants, no other good life, no other money, no other way. We get there by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul was not taught the gospel. And I want to make sure I'm still studying the gospel. The gospel was a revelation from God. Look at the end of verse 12. Neither was I taught, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And we have the verse, we always go back to 2 Peter 1:21. These men were moved by this power of God, the Spirit of God, to write the exact words that God wanted them to write. This was a divine intervention. It is an inerrant word of God. And so when you think of that, when you want to know God, where do you go? You go to his word. When you want to know what God is going to do for you in the midst of whatever you're going through, you go to his word. When you want to know about the promises of God, you go to his word. You want to know about how good God can mend the broken heart, you go to his word. Why? Because he told us. And his word is inerrant. His word is true. Paul, and this is a very interesting point, It was not of man. He makes it very clear. Again, he's defending his authority to those churches in Galatia because the Judaizers came in and were trying to add, trying to say, well, Paul, who's Paul? Remember what Paul was, who he was? All of a sudden now he wakes up one day and now he's a preacher. They discredited Paul because if they can discredit the character of Paul, they discredit the word of Paul. Every lawyer tries to do that all the time in a courtroom. If they can take away your character, they can take away the integrity of your word. Paul says, listen, we're going to fight this one. Because Paul knew where it came from. Paul understood none of the gospel came from man. The second thing we're going to see is Paul's life before he was saved. He goes into verse 13 through 14. For ye have heard of my conversion or conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Paul now says, listen, you knew who I was. Paul says he persecuted the church. I'm going to go to Acts 26 real quick and read what that has to say, because in Acts 26, Paul is standing before the king, and he's from the very beginning and all the way through, he begins to defend himself before Agrippa. And he says this, verses 9 through 11. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Paul explained in his own words how ruthless he was. And he said, you guys know that. Paul had a reputation, didn't he? As he was Saul of Tarsus. He had a reputation of being the guy that came and persecuted everybody. He had a reputation of being the guy that you do not want to meet on the road, period, if you were a Christian. And Paul himself is saying, I persecuted the church. He promoted Judaism. He says that at the beginning of verse 14, and profited in the Jews' religion. He promoted what he was now trying to go against. Interesting. When Paul's conversion changed his purpose, he was going after the Christians. Now instead of going after the Christians as a Jew, he was now going after the Judaizers as a Christian. That's change, isn't it? That is a change that God does. So Paul, in his own words, in his own way, was promoting and trying to get them to realize, listen, before, this is who I was. And we're going to come into play with some of that as we pull this all together this morning. The third thing we knew is he knew their religion well. He was someone who knew the religion better than, as he stated, he was zealous and more exceedingly zealous of the traditions than his fathers, than those who were older than him, than those who were teaching him. Paul said, man, I could outdo him on any court. I could outdo him on any law. Paul was a very, very intelligent man. He probably would be someone that you would want to be your lawyer today. He was that good. And so Paul said, listen, I know them. I know all the laws. I know all the Mosaic laws. I know all the things that they're telling you. That's what I used to be. Little question. Don't ever forget who you used to be before you were saved by the grace of God to who you are now. Because sometimes we forget who we used to be. And there we don't have any kind of compassion to those who are still there. We don't have any kind of reach out to those who are still there. Don't ever forget where you came from, because I'll tell you what, we all went through the barn of this world and we all stunk of the sin of this world and we're still sinners. We are still stinking in sin, but by God's grace, we are saved by that grace. Paul says the same thing as we go through this. So the third thing we see, Paul's conversion. Interesting enough, verse 15, and 16. It says, but when it pleased God who separated me from the mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. I could stay here a whole month of Sundays on these two verses. Do you realize what Paul was telling us in his own testimony, his own conversion? But when? There's many times in scriptures you have that contrast word, but. But when? When God moves, things happen, don't they? Only a couple people agree with that. Man, you're all scaring me. When God moves, things happen. But I'm going to tell you what, it needs to happen maybe. I don't know. Absolutely. When God is involved in it, it works. It moves. The worst of sinners could be made the righteous followers of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. I was one of them. Was you one of them? Absolutely, man. When God, but when? Listen, I'm going to challenge you on that but when later on in the sermon. But when in your life? When was it? What was it all about? Because three things happened to Paul when that happened to him. First one, separated, apart. That's what the separated is. That's when God separates us, sanctifies us. The sanctification of our separation simply means we are set apart for his cause. We are set apart for his message. Paul said, interesting enough, at birth. Do you think Paul come out knowing? Listen, we need to realize when God has a call on your life, it was before the foundations of the world. God knew the exact day. He knew the exact moment. He knew the exact method, whether it be a revival or a preaching or a song or just a tragic event in your life or whatever it was to bring you to the point to realize you are a sinner needing the saving grace of Christ. Whatever that was in your life, you're going to bow through it, okay? And coming out the other end, God's not a liar. God doesn't make mistakes. If God says he called you out into that, guess what? You're going to know. You're going to get it. And you're going to accept it. You see, at this point in Paul's life, but when was unbelievable. And I'm going to tell you, I can't preach enough. We could go through all through the scriptures, through Acts chapter 9 and all through Acts 16, all through the book of Acts and history and show how much Paul changed. But I want to bring something out in this change. Because the first thing we have is he was separated. Second thing, God called him by his grace. It's God's grace that opened the mind of understanding on the road to Damascus that Paul all of a sudden got it. He didn't need another verse. Remember, he had most of the Old Testament memorized. He didn't need anybody to come to him and tell him the plan of salvation. What he needed was an understanding of who Jesus Christ was. And it hasn't changed. Today, we need the understanding of who Jesus Christ is. It's the Savior. It's the blood of his Savior. It is the redemptive story that allows you and I to be called children of God. And with that, understanding that, I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand Jesus Christ, you can love God, you can worship God, you can know God, you can do whatever you want to do with God. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're still going to hell. Well, he's a loving God. If I put enough effort into just knowing him and loving him, it'll be okay. No, it won't. Because he's also a very just God. He's a very correct God and said, no one comes to me except through my son. So we already know that. Sad to say, our world of shallow teaching and shallow ministries is teaching, just like Rob, very little about the blood of Jesus Christ. Teaching about the love of God, teaching about all the things that God can do and pray to God. You know, one of the things that Robin mentioned about the rapture, I'm going to go on a little limb, as I often do. I believe wholeheartedly in the rapture. But you know what the problem is with the rapture? Too many Christians are looking for the rapture and they're missing the ministry in front of them today. That's Robin brought up Thessalonica. Those in Thessalonians, they quit their jobs, sit down, waiting for the rapture to happen. Listen, children of God, don't worry about the rapture. You know why? It's going to happen, guaranteed. You don't know when, guaranteed. But you better be ready for it, guaranteed. You see, we're so involved in, oh, I can't wait for the rapture. I can't wait for the rapture. And we're studying, can't wait. Listen, do something with what you know today to the people who don't know about the rapture, who don't know about Christ. And Paul was so furious at the Judaizers coming into these young babes in Christ and explaining to them, explaining away Christ alone. And we're living in a world where it's not about Christ anymore, is it? Whatever, however, put it together. Sing the songs. I can do unbelievable things for God. I just got to sing it. All right, nobody agreed with that one. Anyway, God called him by his grace. And there is no other way to heaven except through the grace of God. That's an important part. The third thing we find, he revealed his son to Paul that he might preach. Paul knew his ministry. In verse 16, to reveal his son to me that I may preach him among the heathen. Among the heathen he preached, or he was going to preach. And again, we'll define the heathen to them in that day, in that age, was a Gentile. If you weren't a Jew, you were a heathen. But there were only two classes of people in their understanding of religion, Jew or heathen. Paul was going to go to the heathen. He was going to go to the Gentiles. So very important. Paul knew, and he's explaining this out, and he's teaching this to them, and simply understanding the importance of this conversion. Paul said, listen, this is, but when God, timing, God, truth, God did it, all about God. When God got a hold of me, I changed. What amazing. I'm telling you, that's amazing to me. Paul's life after he was saved, and we want to park here just a little bit. There's a few verses. In verse 16, again, I just want to, again, the latter part of verse 16, after he says, I may preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul said, I didn't go to the theologians. I didn't go to the apostles. I didn't go to any man to figure out what just happened to me. He didn't go to flesh and blood. Where did he go? Where did he go? Interesting. We're going to see it as we go through scriptures. He went out to be alone with his God. He went out to be alone with his God. Look at verse 17. Neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And I want you to notice that verse. Very important. I went to Arabia. I do not believe Paul went to Arabia to minister the gospel message. I believe Paul went to Arabia to be alone with his God, to understand what he knew. There's a knowledge and there's an understanding. Paul had the knowledge of Christ. Do a study about the Messiah and the prophesying of Messiah all through the Old Testament. They should have known. In fact, a verse that goes with that, Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. I'll read it quickly for you. Christ is doing the speaking here, and he's the example. And so as he's saying to them in Luke 24, verse 27, I'm going to go up to verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Prophets spoken in the New Testament meant the Old Testament people. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I believe Paul went to Arabia and sat down with God and figured out what he didn't understand. I believe he went away. Christ went away to spend time with his Father, didn't he? I believe Paul went away to figure it out. Him and God alone. Listen, the problem today is we don't take that enough. We don't take that serious enough. That all we need to do in the midst of our life, in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of everything going on in our life, go with God. Go alone with God. Get into his word. Why? Because he's going to talk to you. He's going to tell you the things that are going on in your life. He knows you better than anybody. Instead of getting alone with God, what do? Maybe pray about it a little bit. Maybe call the pastor. Maybe call a friend. Maybe start talking to other people. Listen, we humans can give you good advice, but we can't fix you. I could give you the exact same thing and the exact same verses that Christ would give, but I can't fix you. I can lead you to the one who does, and that's our job. Paul, I believe, went to Arabia and then came back to Damascus. And then it even says in verse 18, then after 3 years. How long was he in Arabia? I don't know. How long before he came back to Damascus? I don't know. But I do know it is at that moment, I believe, I'll put the Orndorffology out there, okay? I believe at that time alone with God is when he settled and solidified his theology that wrote the letter to Romans. In fact, let's look at that, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Again, verse 16 and 17 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first, then also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That term faith to faith simply means faith alone. Listen, Paul went and figured it out. Paul understood now it was all about Christ. It was all about Christ alone. And therefore, he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Why? I know what it did to me. I know how it changed me. And in all my wisdom and in all my knowledge, it didn't matter what I knew about God. It was Jesus Christ that changed my life. Therefore, I understood my God after Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, it's a mind paradigm shift with a complete 180 heart change. And folks, that's what we need today. We need to get back to that heart change. We need to get back to that paradigm shift. We need to get back to the concept that he went out to be alone with his God. We have to have that time with our God. Let me suggest you don't do it just when things are bad, although do it when things are bad. It should be so natural to you and I as his children that we just automatically go there. Oops, got ahead of myself there. He waited 3 years to visit Jerusalem. Nobody could say that he was taught of men. Verse 18 says, then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter. He's the only one he saw. He didn't see the whole bunch of them. He didn't see any of them. And even there, he didn't stay very long in Jerusalem. Chapter 2 starts about him and what happened in Jerusalem, which we're going to see that later on. So we're not going to spend a lot of time there. But it took him 3 years to go to Jerusalem. The next thing we find is the churches didn't know Paul, but they heard of his change. Don't circle that in your scriptures. Verse 23, but they had heard only. You know why that's so important? Is because they couldn't pick Paul out of a crowd. They didn't know him. They've never seen him. They had no idea who he was, but they heard of his change. Oh, that's huge, isn't it? Listen, I'm going to tell you what, people need to hear about our change. People need to hear or see of the things that have changed in our life. And today, I'm afraid that too many of us, as we walk through this world being stained by some of the sin in this world, we're starting to look too much like the world. We're starting to sing. Listen, and I'm not busting praise songs. I love praise songs. I love to sing praise songs. Some of the praise songs out there are worse than the rock and roll I listened to growing up while I was unsaved. I have a problem with that coming into the church. Hey, praise songs are great. The right praise song sung the right way is amazing what it does to your heart and to your mind. But we need to be careful. We don't bring so much of it in and it begins to boil up a little bit. And it begins to be that frog in the boiling pot. So when we see that, again, the church is very important. They heard. What do we do with this? Well, how do we take away from Paul's testimony? Well, what I want to do this morning is put your name in the text, okay? We're not going to talk about Paul. We see how Paul shared his what he was prior to, what his conversion was about, what he was life after. He went and spent time with God. He sorted it out, spent time in Damascus. 3 years later, went to Jerusalem. And listen, once he started to move, because why? God came. God showed up in his life. And when God's there, you move. Paul never stopped after that. He kept moving and preaching and sharing Jesus Christ. The first thing we see is we put our name in the text. What is your life before Christ? What was your life before Christ? I want you to think about that. Put that into your mind. In fact, I challenge you to go home this afternoon and write it all out. What was I before Christ? What was my life like? What was my priorities like? What was my thought process like? Where did I go for truth? Who did I hang with? What was my life like before Christ? Because we don't ever want to forget that. Because sometimes we need to be reminded of what God got us out of. Second thing, and third thing, and fourth. Get it all together. Talk about your but when moment with God. Let me ask it this way. Have you had that moment with God? Have you had that, but then God showed up, then God came, and you realize at that point in time that no matter how much you knew about God, how much was right or wrong about God in your mind, you now realize and understood who Jesus Christ was. And because you understand who Jesus Christ is, there's a change. It's a paradigm mind shift. It's a heart change. My priorities are different. My goals are different. My wants are different. What I do, everything is different about me. It's very important. Have you had that moment? If you haven't had that but when moment, I'm going to tell you what, let today be that moment. Let today be that time. Don't leave without knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you would die right now, where would you go? If you would die right now this second, where would you go? Would you be in heaven begging for? Knowing all well, God said, sorry, he didn't come through my son. Where would you be if you died right now? Have you had that moment? If you have had that moment, praise God, it's all by his grace. If you have had that moment, write down. Just remember the time. Maybe it was a message. Maybe it was talking with somebody. Whatever it was, write down the time and what was going on around you. You may not have the exact date. I'll put myself into this. I myself, along with some of us, have been saved long enough that you may not be remembering the date. I'm trying to say that very carefully. You know what I mean? When you get old, some of the things that you lose, dates are one of them, along with many other things. But anyway, that's another sermon. Write down the moment. Write about it. What did you feel like? What did you know that God did for you in that moment? Because I'm going to tell you what, when you have that but when moment, it should have changed everything about you. It should have changed. Are you getting alone with God so he can teach you through his word? How much are you getting alone? Now, I'm not saying having a 15-minute devotion with the daily bread and read a couple verses. That's all great. But are you getting alone with God and being real? Do you realize how Paul opened up, transparent, was so real to these people in this moment and today? He said, this is who I used to be. But by God's grace, he came and he saved me. This is who I now am. Paul was so true. I love it when Paul's transparent. We all need to be a little more real. Because the one thing that the generation today doesn't see in here is real. For some reason, they think we don't hurt. For some reason, they think we ain't got no sin. Some reason, they think we ain't got no problems. How did they get that idea? Because we walk around saying, I'm fine. I'm great. I'm good. You lie. Sorry, that was a little abrupt. But anyway, we all have struggles. We all have stuff in our lives. Be real. Paul opened up and said, listen, it was the grace of God. I can be real with that. But are you getting alone with God, alone with God in his word to figure out life, to figure out your life struggles? Are you getting alone with God? The last thing we have there, have others heard, seen your life change? That's the question that I can't answer. I answer it for me only. And like I said a couple Sundays ago, I wake up every morning a sinner saved by grace. My choices will tell you whether I'm being a sinner that day or saved by grace that day. We all make those choices. We all have that opportunity. And listen, this is not a one and done. Our salvation is a one and done, but others heard and seen the change. That's not a one and done. That's every day of your life. If Paul ever would have reverted back, and I thought through this when I studied, one time, some of those people, one time Paul reverted back and would take one of them and he would deal with them like he did before he was saved. Do you realize that everything he would have said to that point would have been done? Nobody would have listened to him. Sure, right, Paul. I know what you do every day. I know what you did. And you know, some people do that to us, don't they? Some people say, you know, Christian, really? I hear how you talk. I know where you go. I see the things you do. And they question our Christianity, not by our words, but by our actions. Have they heard or have they seen the change? And folks, listen, I'm going to tell you what. Paul, in a defense of his authority as an apostle, is the same thing we need as an authority of just being a child of God. He has given us the ability to be and to do so much more. And we struggle with that, don't we? Oh, come on now. I just talked about being real. Yes, we struggle with that. Every one of us in here struggle with that. I don't care who you are, how long you've been saved. You struggle with thoughts. We all struggle. Some struggle less than others. I get that. But we all struggle. First thing Paul had to do to defend his authority is be real to the people who knew him. You want people to help you through life? You got to be real to the people in front of you. You got to be real to those people. And they'll help you. Listen, it's encouraging. That's why we're here. That's why we help each other. We help each other because why? Because we go through the same things. We go through the same struggles. Or we even just go through a struggle knowing what God is going to do. As God is the God of all comfort and he comforts us, we are to turn around and play it forward and help other people. That's what Paul was defending. And you could see why he was getting a little upset that they were trying to take that away from him. My challenge to me and to you in that list: don't ever forget who you used to be. Don't ever forget your but when moment. Now live it out in your life so the people who don't know you will know you as a child of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study this morning. We thank you for all that you give us and do in us and through us. And God, I pray as we understand Paul's life and understand the issues that were going on around him, Lord, it's the same today. They're just not called Judaizers. But it's the same today as our religion is being more emphasized than our relationship with your son. And God, we need to really be real with ourselves and with you. And Father, you know us. There's nothing we can hide. But God, being real with you allows us to understand how great of a God you really are. And by your grace, you have called us out of for a purpose. And God, I pray today if there's anyone here that does not know you, anyone here that is trying to get to heaven in any other way but through your son, God, I pray that you open their mind of understanding today. Allow them to understand the need. Allow them to understand to take care of it now. And God, we give you the praise and the glory for any results of anything said today. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.